Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Mota. And as always, I have a special guest. But before I bring them on, I'd like to thank my sponsors, and that would be, as always, Ingram Micro, the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can find out some of these products that you may be using. Some of them are my previous guests. Won't tell you who they are. I'm going to force you to listen to my show because I roll that way. And also, a previous before the show, I should have said that this show is totally HDCP 2.2 compliant, unlike some of your TVs that you probably just bought. So let that sink into your head, if that makes sense. Probably doesn't, but I said it. Chris Kane, who is the VP of Sales and Marketing, and most likely the next CEO of Audio Control, is here on my show today. Chris, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Johnny.
Hey, thanks for taking the time again. You and I met earlier this year in wonderful Napa, California, wine country. At the time, I think it was very brown, dry, and dead outside. We don't get much rain, but where you are, it's is Seattle, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, Seattle, Washington. Yeah, we get our share of rain, yeah.
Maybe you could send a little my way. We're starting to get a little bit today, just a little bit. We haven't got a lot this year. And tell me a little bit about the company Audio Control. Actually, you know what? Before you tell me about Audio Control, tell me a little bit about your background in the audio industry.
Sure, Johnny. Well, I probably, like a lot of people, started life in retail, selling audio products for the normal cash and carry customer who came in. Worked a couple different stores down in Southern California. And then I actually moved up to Seattle back in the early 90s and went to work for Audio Control. So I've been here about 24 years now.
Awesome.
So it's not too long, and there are too many different places, but it's been a real fun ride.
That's great. Now tell me a little bit about Audio Control. Who's Audio Control? What do you guys offer?
Audio Control. So the company's been around for almost 40 years, actually. And our offices and our factories are actually up here in Seattle, Pacific Northwest, rainforest, all that kind of fun stuff.
Cool.
And the company started life as an equalizer company. We sold equalization products to retail stores back in 77, 78, stuff like that. That's what was available at that time. And then over time, we found a lot of our dealers and customers started using equalizers in professional sound. So that led us to develop audio analyzers and products for the commercial side of the life. Some of our home products actually found their ways into the trunks of cars, and so we launched a car audio division a few years ago. We thought, hey, we can do a better job than, you know, just sticking that in there. And then our latest generation of things came about with the introduction of CD channels, where a lot of our customers or dealers are going out to clients' houses, and the clients like different types of speakers. And along came, you know, architectural speakers, in-wall speakers, in-ceiling, invisible, things like that, that the client liked the way they looked, but they wanted them to sound better. And so we found dealers were using our equalizers to enhance the sound of the speaker, which was great. But the challenges they ran into was, hey, how do I get all these cool equalizers in the racks with amplifiers and electronics and all that other stuff? So we actually started taking our equalization and signal processing circuits, and we built them into some amplifiers that we launched for the distributed audio side of life, which is our Architect series of amplifiers. And that started off life as 12-channel, and then we got into 16-channel and then 2-channel. At the same time, we took that whole legacy of better sound. And, you know, I think our catchphrase with Audio Control is always making good sound great. You know, we're trying to take, you know, good speakers to make them sound good in the environment that they're being put into, whether it's a dedicated listening room or an outdoor space or whatever. All those kind of areas can enhance, can make the way the speakers sound maybe not the way they want to. So equalization and signal processing helps with that. We do that for distributed audio. We do that for home theater, whole house audio. Kind of carries over from area to area.
No, because you guys kind of started in the EQ business back then, do you feel that maybe that's where Audio Control maybe stands out a little bit, starting from the EQ side and going into full amplification and distribution, because you started with equalization and incorporating that into distribution of amps versus maybe building amps and then adding that after the fact? Maybe because that's kind of like where you started was EQ, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you know, different dealers. Some dealers who sold us in hi-fi or in stereo stores kind of remember us as the EQ. We made a product. I think there's one of them behind me here, the C101, which was an EQ with flashing lights and sliders and things like that. And you'd see those in a lot of different listening systems. And I think dealers found taking that out to a project and matching it up with an amp sounded pretty good, but they wanted to put them all together. So that led us to take what we were doing with amplifiers and say, hey, let's put amplifiers and equalizers in one chassis. But yeah, I think when it comes to better sound, people look at us that way, especially with distributed audio. Because sometimes when it comes to distributed audio, there's a thought, well, maybe the customer doesn't care about as much as the whole house system as they do with the main system. And I would kind of debate that, because I think when you put better speakers in a room and then you get better amplification with it, people really do like that throughout their house, not just in the main room.
And do you think that statement that, people don't really care, prior to what you're saying, like your argument is yes, they do care. Do you feel when people say, people don't really care in certain areas versus others, do you think that might just be an uninformed statement, basically? Like if you give someone the choice, right, and this, let's just say this is the two-channel room. This is where I really go to enjoy audio. And everywhere else on the distributed side of things, it's kind of background sound or whatever. The excuse or the term that people say is, oh, distributed is kind of just background noise, really. It's not really hi-fi or quality. Do you feel that maybe that's just kind of like an uninformed statement, really? Because you can provide good quality distributed audio, but that all comes from the source material, the amplification, speakers, etc.
Yeah, I think unless you really spend a little more time with the customer or the client, yeah, that's probably a kind of uninformed statement. I mean, it's kind of like saying, oh, that customer doesn't want to drive a fast car just by, spending a few minutes with them. Well, sometimes a Honda Accord is a fast car, or put them in a Porsche, or put them into something else, and then they experience it. Music used to be, there would be dedicated rooms in people's houses, and then home theater, I think, opened that up even more so. And then distributed audio. I mean, the first time you go out to a customer's house and you put some speakers in their bedroom, or you put a system into their bathroom or something, they go, wow, that's cool. Because you know what? They didn't have any music in that room before. So now you're coming out to their house and they go, yeah, no, I've got those speakers, but you know what? I noticed my other rooms sound better. So, wow me a little bit more. I'd like to, maybe I know that my bedroom's not going to sound as good as the main listening room, but on the other hand, I spend a lot of time in the bedroom. I spend a lot of time in the office, in the workout room, and there are solutions. And, nine times out of 10, if you put a solution out in front of a customer, at least test them, they'll go, yeah, you know what? I really would appreciate that. So you want to make sure as a dealer, sometimes you don't pass judgment and say, yeah, the customer doesn't really care about it. Well, I think with all you look at what they're willing to pay for these days with music and streaming music and things like that. Hey, if I'm spending $200 or $300 a year to stream high def music into my house, you know what? I'd like to have the best solution out there.
And in terms of amplification, do you feel that are there any of your lines of amplifiers maybe that are better suited for some of those customers that care about higher quality, and some that's maybe on the lower scale? It's still quality, but maybe just better suited for someone that's just looking to get some sort of distribution and maybe not like super high quality sound. Or they're all kind of in the range of, we're really good class, A through H amps or whatever it is that we build, because I know that you have a multitude of amplifiers for different rooms, different applications, and things like that. I mean, there's a large SKU of amps that I can see on your website. I've only used a few myself, but do you feel that they're all pretty much just really high quality, no matter what room you go into?
Yeah, I mean, with our products, I know some companies will have good, better, best, depending on, what they're trying to hit price points and do other things. I mean, we tend to try and target, the better, best in a lot of cases.
Okay.
And whereas I think in some distributed audio applications, the industry some days, you see a 20-watt, 30-watt solution, and people go, hey, that's the most I'm going to get out of it. I mean, we start at 60 to 70 watts per channel, multi-channel. We go up to 100 watts, which sometimes people go, wow, 100 watts per channel for a whole house. Do I need that much? But then you really start to think about the listening rooms, the outdoor space, the listening areas. You know what? That kind of power can be really beneficial. So, the power level is probably what dictates which models you go with ours.
Okay.
Our Architect series, they have equalization on the front panel, They can give you good calibration from room to room, pretty good value, good workhorse amplifiers. That would be probably our better. And then our best ones would be the director. And the director is where we've taken the equalization circuits and we put them on a network. So the dealer can actually log on and set the system up. They can monitor it remotely. They can control it if they have a Control 4 system or a Savant system. The network port will allow them to control that. You can create presets. So the customer wants to have a party mode and a nighttime mode and a, you know, whatever kind of zone. They can recall different presets. So that kind of helps it. And some of it's a little more, it can speed up the installation too. You know, installers, if they say, hey, I want something where I can log on remote, then the director makes a little bit more sense. We have a couple of simpler two-channel amplifiers our architect family, and those are for great rooms, and you can run lots of speakers on them. They're 2-ohm stable and things like that. I think a new area we've gotten into for some of that, I guess you could say budget, but at the same time, it's still giving you power is some of those new amplifiers, the Rialto 600 series and the new Bijou 600, which are the little small zone amplifiers with digital inputs and such.
And those are more of like a single zone solution, essentially, right, with maybe smaller amplification for a local room or something?
Yeah, well, they are smaller. I mean, they're, size of a cigar box, I guess you could say. They're not that big. But, you know, you still get 100 watts per channel out of them. I think when people hook them up, they're always like, oh, look at this cute little amp. I'll hook it up to my cute little speakers. And then they hook it up, they're like, holy cow, that really, that sounds good. And you know, when people are looking for the magic story some days, I mean, while we do some neat amplifier stuff, you know, it's higher power levels that I think really gets people going and get their speakers going. And, you know, those Rialtos and Bijou amplifiers, the zone amps, by adding digital inputs on there, that was just addressing a need that our dealers were going, hey, analog sunset, I got a digital out, how do I make all this work? So, you know, and that's where a lot of our product ideas come from is dealers. Well, let's add a digital input under the amp. Well, while you're doing that, can you add, you know, we always end up with this list of 10 or 15 different features that the CI guys like, and then we try and match that up with, you know, good audio performance. And, you know, so far it's allowed us to offer some pretty cool products.
That is pretty cool. And so what, the Rialto 600 is new to that line, correct, as well as the Bijou 600? Those both are new, and the new is basically the digital inputs?
Correct. We had originally the line launched with a model called the Rialto 400, which was kind of a dedicated zone amplifier with digital analog ends. And dealers really liked it. And they said, well, hey, if you're going to, when next time you change it or make additions to it, we had a couple of feature ideas. One was more automation friendly things. So we added a volume control. So you can actually control the volume now with the amplifiers, the remote control, or via RS-232. So if the client doesn't want to see it, they can do it that way. Bass management was another thing. There's so much power coming out of that amplifier that if you're running them on smaller bookshelf speakers or even a sound bar, we have enough power to really put down pretty low. If the speaker isn't designed to go that low, we want to kind of protect that. So we've got an electronic crossover on there. So we can select and make the amplifiers play full range. Some people put two of them together, run one on the satellites and run one on the subwoofer, and they're small enough they can put them in a, you know, little rack, or we have a back box for the Bijou so you can actually put it behind a television. So it doesn't take up a lot of space, gives everybody the audio performance they're looking for, and it works with today's digital audio formats.
Sounds great. And that you're going to have to let me know, because I can't hear my voice through that end of the internet. But it feels like I got a glitch in the matrix. So if I start to come through on your end, sound like a robot or glitching out, it's the internet. So you just shake your head once or blink once for yes, blink twice for two, or meaning no. And gotcha. Because I got a little audio glitch on my end. So you just let me know if I sound like I am in a robot mode. And in terms of who I mentioned earlier, if you didn't already go look, everyone, go over to IngramMicro.com, who's the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. Head over to IngramMicro.com to view some of my previous guests who have been on my show. And again, I won't tell you because I don't want to spoil the surprise, but they've been on my show a few times. There's a few guests. Head over to IngramMicro.com, check it out, and see what they have to offer you as an integrator. Now let's talk a little bit about business strategy? Are you guys a direct-to-dealer model? Do you have distribution? Do you have local stores? How does that work?
Predominantly our business is direct-to-dealer. And, you know, our products typically require a custom installation professional to install them, to calibrate them, program them, and, you know, depending on the system, to kind of configure it to work with a control system of some sort. So while there are certainly some, I think, end-user enthusiasts, it's probably beyond what most of these guys want. So we tend to focus a little bit more on what that CI channel looks for. And, you know, we have a modest-sized dealer base around the country. I mean, we look for dealers that, you know, have the ability to sell the better audio, and you're typically looking for better speakers and connected accordingly. So,
okay.
We representation all over the U.S., and we actually do business in about 25 countries, I think, around the world.
All right. Now, in terms of direct-to-dealer, I myself am one of those dealers, and I am anxiously awaiting, I'm sure, everyone else in the country who has these on order or pre-ordering, because I know I called you earlier this week about it. This receiver, you have discontinued the old models, the Concert AVR 6s is what they were, or AVR 8s, is that correct?
Correct.
And now you have the 7 and 9 series. And the update, right, to my knowledge, and it could be more than this, majorly, is the Dolby Atmos edition, correct?
Correct.
Now, and I mentioned in the beginning of my show that my podcast is HDCP compliant 2.2. Are these receivers supporting that as well?
Yes, they are. They support HDMI 2.0 with the HDCP 2.2 copyright protection.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I picked up on that earlier when you said that.
I was foreshadowing in case you weren't aware, but I think you picked it up. So you win bonus points there, Chris.
Thank you.
And now for the next question, the current rough estimate release date on this new Concert AVR series receivers is end of the year, correct? In that time frame?
Yeah, we're actually all things coming together. We're hoping to start production here in the next week or so. And, you know, it takes a while to build the units up, and then we run them through test and make sure all the firmware and everything works. So if all things come together, we may be shipping them before Christmas time.
Wait. Build in-house? Test in-house?
What a concept, huh?
In America, even?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's talk about that again. So, I mean, are there parts that you just source? I mean, do you guys have a factory in Seattle, Washington, where this is all assembled on a line in a warehouse, tested room, you know, things like that? How does that work?
Yeah, no, we have a full factory here in Seattle. We actually have another factory over in Spokane, Washington.
Okay.
There's a long story about that, but that allows us to kind of be insulated a little bit from all the manufacturing goes on in Seattle. You know, you got companies like Boeing and Microsoft and all that. We're all trying to go after the same technology base. But our products all go through final assembly and testing here in Seattle. Some of them we build from board level testing and such. We work with vendors, you know, depending on the level of technology that's involved. We source all of our metal and chassis and everything locally. We have a whole staff of engineers here that do the design work too. So I've been doing that since the beginning of the company.
That is a great concept, and I'm glad to hear it. I mean, it's becoming very scarce to hear that still continues in America. And some of my previous guests are in the same boat as you guys, and I have a strong respect for that, because it's so easy to, you know, let's save a buck or a hundred or whatever, and let's outsource in other countries, and I get it. I understand why that exists. But at the same time, it's nice to know that companies are still doing things internally or here locally. One, you know, it supports jobs here for us, and that's great. Also, it can confirm, as a manufacturer, the quality control needed, you know, because your own company and people are doing it in-house. So that is another thing that I like to see. I myself came from manufacturing, machining, doing quality control, actually turning parts for machines and Boeing as well, landing gear on planes that I'm sure you've all flown on, and lots of other things in between. But so I can respect, you know, what it takes to build something, make sure it goes through quality and all that stuff, and it's not just something that happens in a day. There's a long process. And to see that people still do that, here is great. You know, I'm sure it costs more than everywhere else, of course, but it there's a certain respect level I think that comes with that, and it's great to hear. So, and I can understand why it takes a little, you know, longer. You know, it's got to go through the process, or in some cases, I think I've gotten stuff from you guys very, very quickly, which I was surprised. I'm like, wow, that was very quick. What's next for you guys? I mean, the concert AVR series seems to be the newest addition to the Audio Control family, correct?
Yeah, well, we have, I guess, two additions this year. The home theater lineup, definitely. I mean, the Dolby Atmos opportunities that are out there these days for dealers. I mean, obviously, it gives you a chance to go out and reconnect with your customers and talk about the benefits of Atmos and connectivity. Let's face it, HDMI 2.0 is going to force some switching that goes on there, you know, with a lot of today's sources. So that was kind of a mainstay. And actually, one of the things that's also incorporated in the receivers and the pre-pros is the new Dirac Live room correction processing, which is, I don't know, maybe I'm more of an audio buff some days, but I've just been really excited about that because that allows the dealer to provide that client with that room calibration experience and provide a really good sound performance that sometimes when you do it from a manual calibration standpoint takes a lot longer. And Dirac's done a nice job of trying to making the process a little bit easier and giving people some balance out of it and not sounding artificial, you know, which can happen sometimes.
The software alone, I think, is honestly reason enough to upgrade to your new AVR series, honestly. I know what it costs to do something like that, and then what you're getting in with your AVR series, whether that's the 7 or the 9, even the 7, the lower level AVR, to get the Dirac software built in, I think is and Atmos, of course, and all the new switching and the HDMI 2.0 and the HDCP 2.2, it really is just a really good reason to upgrade, especially for the era that we live in now, because we don't live in the past. We don't have, well, I mean, not that older TVs and displays and things don't still exist, but moving forward, it makes sense to have these things and be ready for it, because that's where we are, and that's where, you know, unless you bought a TV on last Black Friday, it's not going to work with the new cables and everything and everything else. But that's a whole nother show that we can talk about.
But you're right. I mean, people like sound. I mean, they may sometimes they give you a dedicated room, sometimes they don't. And I think one of the things that's helped the growth of home theater some days is it's kind of a lifestyle purchase. So years ago, it would be, you know, maybe I'd go in and come home and say, hey, this is what we needed to have for our system. And my family would go, oh, that's great, Dad. Nowadays, it's my wife and my kids may be driving and, hey, let's get that bigger TV or let's get that better sounding system. They may not want to let me tear down the walls like I used to or dedicate that room as much. So room correction software and things like Dirac kind of help so I can get that audio performance I'm looking for and they can get that lifestyle. You know, they're not going to let me have that single room, single couch in the, or one chair in the room like they used to or I used to take. But it's different now. So, but yeah, no, it's definitely keeping up with what's going on. So.
Yeah. And now let me ask you this. Is that Dirac software only coming with the AVR series?
And the AVR 7 and the AVR 9 receivers, and then also we're going to have a pre-pro called the Maestro M9, and the M9 is a standalone pre-pro with balanced inputs and outputs with the Dirac Live software in it also.
Great. I didn't get a chance to go to Cedia, and I don't know if you were there with the company or not, and if you were, can you tell me what the overall consensus of people coming by the booth was and how it was all perceived, because you showed these AVR series there, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, it was a very, very busy show for us. I mean, you normally a show, your first few days get busy and the third day or the fourth day tends to trickle off, but we had a lot of activity at the booth. I mean, these are the first receiver products that are introduced that have Atmos and Dirac Live in them. The pre-pro also, so and it's a good testament to, you know, dealers were coming to us and saying, hey, I have certain products at different price points for some customers, but you know, I'm selling better speakers, customers like the better sounding speakers, I want to just have something that can drive them effectively, And so, yeah, I want to match it up with something electronic. So between the Atmos and the Dirac component, and of course the fact that HDMI 2.0 will let it work, you know, there was a lot of real good buzz from that. So it's good to see dealers are looking for things like that. I mean, there's obviously times where you need a $400 solution, but I think a majority of times people are looking for, hey, the customer doesn't come to us because they want a clerking experience, you know, reach behind the counter and hand them something. Show me something better, you know? If you show me something better and you wow me and you get me really excited, then I'll engage with you. I'll let you do my house. I'll let you connect with that. And that's why they come to a lot of our dealers. They came there for something inexpensive. That they could get that in a lot of places. So, I mean, I think the dealers that go to Cedia especially are ones that are taking that experience and kind of notching it up a level or two. And it was nice to see that, you know, the electronics of what we're doing there with the receivers and the pre-pro. And also, we've got a couple new distributed audio amps I'll tease you about here in a minute. But that there's a lot of buzz. But it was a good show. I was very happy. It was Dallas, so it was warm. Like, you know, what do you say? You come from Seattle, where it's never that hot, but Dallas had a little bit of warmth to it.
Well, when I met you earlier this year, we were with my friend Rich Jackson, and for those of you who do not know Rich Jackson, he is a 43-year audio vet, not 43-year-old. That is incorrect, but he is a 43-year audio vet. And if you go back to episode 8 of AV Insider, you can listen to some of his experience. That's an episode called Everything Changes and Nothing Changes, all about hi-fi and things coming full circle, where I think people going forward now have started to demand more quality audio. As in the past, where we talked about the statement we just said, you know, maybe people don't want a higher quality experience with distributed audio. That's just background, where I think, Chris, you disagree with that. I disagree with that because, you know, you put in something that sounds crappy, they're going to notice and they're going to complain about that. So I think that's just kind of an uninformed statement. But go back to listening to episode 8. Listen to my friend Rich Jackson talk about hi-fi and kind of the resurgence of things coming back to the way they used to be, a wider appreciation for high-quality audio and sort of that hi-fi experience. I think people more and more are asking for it. And it's a pretty good episode. Go back to episode 8 and check that out. Now, Chris, you mentioned a couple teasers, right? You got some new stuff possibly in the works. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. It's you know, as our distributed audio line has grown with the Architect and Director series, it's interesting. With home theater, as the amplification and power gets higher and higher, people want larger and larger footprints. But with the distributed audio, hey, we want more power. But boy, every time we talk to an installer, if you could get a little less rack space and a little less rack space. So over the years, we've started with 4, and then we go down to 3 rack spaces. And then this year, we actually have a couple of 2U amplifiers that we showed at CD. One of them, the Architect 2660, has started shipping about 2 or 3 months ago. And then we have a couple of new Matrix amplifiers that will be shipping first quarter next year that are 2U. And then we now have a 1U 8-channel amplifier that is also on tap for the first half of next year.
Wow. And all built, assembled, and made in America.
Yeah.
Using American workers up here in Seattle.
And I bet they're all highly caffeinated by Pete's Coffee. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I think we're a Starbucks crew up here.
I think you're correct. I'm just a huge fan of Pete's Coffee. Maybe I'm a little one-sided because I did a little bit of work for the ex-CEO of the Pete's Coffee here in Wine Country, California, a while back. Okay. Is there anything that we should mention about the company that we have not mentioned? I know there's a couple really small amplifiers. I think one that you even showed me that you could fit right behind a TV. Like that, I think some of our installers out there, mm-hmm, that mount right up behind the TV because it's 1U, but it's only like a half wide of your normal rack space unit. Kind of, you could tuck it behind a TV or something like that.
Yep. No, that's the, thanks for bringing that up. That is the Bijou 600.
Oh, that is the 600.
And, I'll tell you a little secret. We make, most of those products are named after theaters, by the way. People go, where do you come up with names?
I was thinking about that.
Savoy and Pantages and Bijou and, Avalons and things like that, and we've named it Rialtos. We've named them all after various movie theaters. So some of them I'm finding over time are a little more West Coast than East Coast based. You know, I'll say that on the West Coast, and people, well, yeah, I've heard of that theater in the East Coast. You know, it's a I've never heard of that. So
you've heard of the Rialto.
Rialto. I grew up in with a lot of those around in Southern California. So
yeah.
Well, I'm running out of theater names. So I'm open for suggestions if anybody wants to send them over to me. So
the Roxy, yeah, man.
The Proxy. There you go.
there's all kinds of theater names. Now the Bijou, I'm unfamiliar with. That kind of sounds like a late after hours phone call, phone a friend person that I want to talk to you on the phone. And say, hey, is Bijou around?
Yeah.
But that's just my interpretation of it. Apparently, it's a famous theater that I am unaware of.
No, they've all changed. But yeah, that is a really a fun product. The Rialto products we talked about earlier in your show are the small zone amplifiers, and we basically took one of those Rialtos, and you know, cut and dealer said, "Hey, we like the way it sounds, but we have clients that don't want to see it some days." So we took the amp and kind of filleted it, so we have the circuit boards next to each other instead of stacked, and we put it in a 1U half rack wide chassis, so it can fit into a rack nice and easily, or more importantly, it can fit into a back box behind a television, or you can put it inside of a cabinet. So it gives you a lot of flexibility that you don't see with a normal amplifier. Plus, it gives you a ton of power.
Yeah, definitely. And you said what that was, a 100-watt amplifier?
Yeah, it's 100 watts per channel into 8 ohms, by the way, and it'll play down to 4 ohms. It'll give you almost double the power. It's very deceiving. You look at how small it is, and like I said,
that, yeah.
You bring out the small speakers, you go, no, go get me some of the mid-level or higher-level towers, and, you know, a lot of dealers are very, like, taken aback, like, wow, look how much power that puts out.
And in terms of product, just really quick, this might be the last question here. What would you say normal turnaround time is? I mean, obviously, maybe the new stuff, there's high demand, so we're just kind of filling pre-orders right now on your AVR series. But normal product, is it kind of a made-to-order thing? Is that, like, if I place an order today for, you know, a Bijou 600, is that something that just someone, all right, here's a work order, build this? Or is it something, maybe a stock item kind of a thing? Or how does that work?
Yeah, most products we stock all the time. I mean, we tell people we build stuff every day. Right. We don't build everything every day. So
right, yeah, right. But you know, so maybe certain stuff though is, you know, okay, that's a specialty. You know, we only build that per order basis, right?
Yep. Now products like the Bijou, the Rialto, some of our basic our Architect amplifiers, we stock those pretty deep. So most cases you can order, if you get it in early enough, it ships that day, or it'll ship the next day. And we have a production line actually that does a lot of those. If you need 50 of them or something, yeah, we need a few more minutes probably to build that one. So, but it's always, especially in the holidays too. I don't think it's a holiday yet until I get that Christmas Eve phone call from a dealer who needs a receiver and an amplifier to put into a client's project, and I got to go, you just found out about that? So we're sensitive to that. You know, hey, there's a lot of last minute stuff that goes on there, and that's when people call us up, we can usually react to that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm already starting to get those phone calls, like, oh, and they all start with, we're having a party this week. I'm like, yeah, you and everyone else in the world, I know.
Yeah, those are funny calls. I've never been invited to any of those parties, but, you know, if my house was almost done and I told my wife we're having a party on Friday, she'd freak out. But you hear that from a lot of clients. Yeah, we're having our brand new house party in 3 days. You go, wow, really? Okay.
The only time I'm ever invited to those parties is when I get a phone call from that party because the amplifier fried because they turned it up too loud. Or like, oh, it just stopped playing. I'm like, what did you do? What did you do to the rack?
Should have put an audio control in there.
Well, that's where we are moving forward. I tell you, like I said, I got some of those AVR7s on the way.
Awesome.
Okay, that's it. That is everything that I can ask you right now. That's where we are. Audio control. If you guys listening, I'd like to invite you back, not tomorrow, but maybe as we get further in the beginning of this new year, because of those new little teasers you talked about, I want to know more about that.
Right? Well, I'd love to be back, John. I appreciate that.
And anytime you want to talk about audio, hi-fi, technology, any of that stuff, I'd love to have you back. Maybe if you want to bring some more people from the team to talk about audio in general, I'd love to have you back as well with them.
No, that'd be great. We've got some great people here from customer service to technology. I mean, we're a sometimes we're kind of a quiet secret in some cases, you know, where clients discover us and dealers discover us, go, wow, you know, you guys make some great sounding products. And you know, when there's not as many retail stores anymore, it's the custom channel.
Right.
People like that. So, and it, we love to talk to end users and customers too, because that gives us a lot of feedback that kind of helps lead to that next level of product, you know, the HDMI 9.0 or whatever's coming down the path.
Oh, it's coming. Now, speaking of listening to your integrators, customers, techs, everyone and in between, should anyone listening to this podcast have any questions for you, Chris, what is the best way to reach out?
You can actually call us. We don't have voicemail. A human being will answer our phones.
Cool.
You can reach at 425-775-8461. You can send an email to me. Am I setting myself up here?
You might be. I give my email all the time, so.
Okay. It's chris.k@audiocontrol.com. But like I said, I mean, one of the things that people like about our company is they can call up and a human being will answer the phone and actually has touched one of the products or put it through its paces. So feel free to pick up and call us. You've got a really good website that's got cool information. We love to hear about projects on our Facebook site. We're twittering or whatever these days even more so. So yeah, love to hear the stuff that people are working on.
I myself do have an answer machine. It goes, you've reached Johnny's personal robot machine. Leave a message. Beep. But if you guys are social like myself, you can check out Audio Control at facebook.com/audiocontrol. If you like to tweet things in 140 characters or less, it's @audiocontrolinc. If you want to check out some cool videos of these products, head over to youtube.com/user/audiocontrolcar. And if you like Instagrams and the pictures and all that good stuff, imagery is more your thing, check them out on Instagram @audiocontrolinc. Should Twitter still exist tomorrow and you can tweet at me at JMOTA3, that's JMOTA3. And if you want to email me and tell me my show sucks, maybe you liked it, I don't know, you can tell me at JohnnyMOTA3@gmail.com. That's JohnnyMOTA3@gmail.com. And that is probably the best way to reach me or any other social media account out there. I'm on the internet, just Google me. I may have good things to say. It's usually sarcasm, so take it with a grain of salt. And that has been AV Insider. Chris, thank you for your time. And I'd love to have you back soon. And have a happy holiday. And we will be talking soon. As soon as I get those new AVRs in my theater, I'm going to be having questions, I'm sure.
Not a problem.
Everyone, this is, yeah, thank you. Everyone, this has been AV Insider.